Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected talk, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Can spell syncopated listening to this program? None. 2015, spell syncopated to yourself. See how good you are. Kids come over from India, they can spell syncopated in 3 minutes. 3 minutes in America, they win a spelling bee. Yeah, right. So anyway, I love this song because I grew up listening to the news every night on television, which began, it was in New York, I don't know which channel, I think, Channel 5. And they played the syncopated clock, composed by Leroy Anderson, and it organized my brain after a hard day at school and then at play, sitting down at 5 o'clock to the news and eating a steak dinner with French fries and polishing it off with cherry vanilla ice cream. And then my father would come home from work, white in his face, seeing his spoiled child being ruined by his wife. And he'd say, "You're going to kill the kid. You're going to destroy the kid. He'll never amount to anything. What are you treating him like a pharaoh for?" Well, he put a stop to that. And here I am 750,000 years later on the Savage Nation about to begin part two of propaganda and why we need it to defeat ISIS. If you missed yesterday's show, I thought it was one of my favorite. Many of you loved it. Many of you missed it. Many of you didn't get it. I talked about propaganda as it was used in World War II. And how it helped defeat the Nazis and the Japanese, and how we're not using propaganda at all because of the cowardice in the arts in particular. So I want to continue today with that and other subjects. I'm going to not just do that all day. That was one of the things. I'm going to talk about the sex therapists of Silicon Valley. Found an interesting article on that today, and how high-tech guys are very bad, not only in bed, but with women. They have no idea, they say, how to meet women, talk to women, and go further than that, because they are stuck in algorithms. And they think that women are just a broken code in need of debugging. You hear this, Robert? Or a mathematical equation. They don't know how to interact with the human beings. They sound like most Republicans. And by the way, speaking of Republicans, did you see the scandal? Another, Dennis Hastert, I mean, the guy was a wrestling coach. Like, I didn't know it was with boys, right? They didn't know what it was, what he was being blackmailed for. $3.5 million, a hush fund, rather. So I said, wait a minute. Okay, let's put two and two together. What's he covering up? It's got to be sex. Is it a boy or a girl? I say, wrestling coach, bingo. Oh, another Republican and another boy scandal. That's a shocker. God and country. I mean, he's wrestling with boys in their underwear. Oh, God. Is it any wonder that people become psychotic maniacs like Bernie Sanders? Is it any wonder that a guy like Bernie Sanders can get anywhere in America? In my day, Bernie Sanders, who conned the people from Vermont, he comes from Brooklyn, communist through and through, a Lower East Side left-wing fanatic, couldn't get anywhere in New York, writes rape fantasies about women before he's a politician, which came out now. Now he's running for the presidency, Bernie Sanders. You know, do we have any Bernie Sanders sounds so they know who I'm talking about? Most people never heard of him. Just to get a gist of him, he makes me sound like I'm speaking the King's English. Listen to this guy. We have Bernie? What's a dead shot?
There is growing frustration that members of Congress, mostly men, I should add, are trying to roll back the clock on women's reproductive rights. In this case, the right of women to receive contraceptive services.
You know a lot about that.
Plans.
Okay, you know who he is now. The guy who speaks with that heavy, like, New York, Brooklyn accent.
Bernie Sanders, tax the rich. Women aren't being treated fairly.
Bernie. Unbelievable. Is anyone that people could take him and see? How could this guy get where he is? We have such a stupid nation, it's unbelievable to me. But then I was reading that in New York, a guy like de Blasio, the most incompetent. Let me put it to you this way. Let's talk about the facts. De Blasio was a community organizer, supported the communist uprising in Nicaragua. He wins in a shocking election in New York last time, in a fluke, when most people don't go to the polls. And we read today that his constituency is 100, almost, no, sorry, that the majority of his constituency are blacks in New York City. that they were hoodwinked by him because they're not getting what they were promised they would get, number one. So in other words, this communist was put in power by the black population in New York. So what does that tell you? It tells you that the entire Democrat Party is based upon division between the races, division between the sexes, and class warfare. And what you have to know is because of the changing demographics, we're liable to see a revolution in this country in your lifetime, not in the direction that you would like, in the direction of the communists. They're just liable to pull off a communist revolution in the country. When you see a lowlife like Bernie Sanders, who in my day, I would say in one of my old insults, the guy in my day, the most he could do was run an ice cream store, a souvlaki stand. The guy wouldn't have the brains to get beyond one Frankfurter stand in Manhattan if he, let's say, had no starter in life. The most, he'd sell hot dogs and argue with most of the customers. They wouldn't even buy from him the next day. What do you mean you want sauerkraut for $1.50? I'm going to give you sauerkraut on top of it all. How mustard? You want another 10 cents. He drive everyone away from the hot dog stand. This guy already is a presidential material. And he's talking communist rhetoric. So where is this country going, you ask yourself? How could the country get any worse? Oh, it's going to get a lot worse. Think Baltimore. Obama, Eric Holder. Now, of course, Loretta Lynch has joined the pack. Obama, Holder, and de Blasio attacked the police for six straight months. The city burned. The police were told to stand down by the goofball who runs the city. Now black residents are screaming that the police who used to protect them aren't coming out to protect them. They said they can't come out of their apartments to even go shopping anymore because those police aren't there. The very pigs that they hated and said, you know, bring down the pigs. Remember that little story? The residents of Baltimore who hated the police are now saying there are no police to save them. So they're afraid to go to the store because there's no one to protect them. I wonder what that is about. What do you think caused that? Well, here's a headline. Cops more afraid of going to jail for doing their job than getting shot. That's San Francisco. That's been policing here for years. Don't get me wrong. The cops are very brave. But what would you do if you were them? You'd stay in the station as often as you could and count your 401k until you retired. They're human beings, you know. They have to go home at night. They're dealing with the scum of the earth. They're the ones who have to pick up the human trash every day off the streets and keep them from killing you. So when you debase them and put them down every day, what do you expect them to do, protect you? Which leads me directly to the next story that is tied in somewhere. Not directly. It's sort of like what I'm afraid could happen here. And that's what's happening in South Africa. You don't know what's going on in South Africa because the media has a seamless seal over what's happened in South Africa since local rule took over. You don't know about the killing of whites. You don't know about the appropriation of land. You don't know about the rape epidemic. You know nothing of this. All you do is sing Kumbaya and you think that everything is wonderful because the evil whites were thrown out. You don't know that more people have been killed under local rule than were ever killed under the rule of the so-called farmers called the Boers. You know nothing. You know nothing about reality. All you know is who George Clooney isn't and things of that nature. So what I want to do is begin and show you where things can go, not only in South Africa, not only using South Africa as a model. I want to begin by continuing on the propaganda front, meaning showing you propaganda used in World War II. Robert, please play. This is the German one, right? Clip 18. I want you to listen carefully to this newsreel clip. It's only a minute and a half long. And I want you to hear when he gets to the point where he says that the Congress became nothing but a body of parrots. Listen.
Remember these faces. Remember them well. If you ever meet them, don't hesitate.
Der eine wahrhaftige Weltanschauungsvater sein. Und zweitens, die wollten Herr.
Stop thinking and follow me, cried Hitler. I will make you masters of the world. And the people answered, Heil! Heil! Stop thinking and believe in me, bellowed Mussolini. And I will restore the glory that was Rome. And the people answered, Duce, Duce. Stop thinking and follow your God Emperor, cried the Japanese warlords. and Japan will rule the world. And the people answered, Banzai, Banzai. Each system was alike in that the constitutional law-making bodies gave up their power. The Reichstag in Berlin, the House of Deputies in Rome, the Diet in Tokyo. And these elected representatives became collections of stooges, rubber stamp organizations.
Bingo.
Applauding on cue the words of the leaders.
Bingo.
Each system did away with free speech and free assembly. Each system did away with a free press and substituted a press controlled by the party. Through their ministries of propaganda, each took complete control of the theater, the movies, the radio. Every cultural activity and every channel of information was controlled by the most important members of the party. Each did away with free courts and trial by jury, and substituted courts and judges run by the party.
Oh, really?
Stop thinking and believe in me. Now, who says that? Hitler said it. Mussolini said it. The emperor said it. Doesn't Obama basically say, stop thinking and believe in me? Isn't that exactly what he's been saying for all these years now? Isn't that what the Democrats teach the dummies to vote for them? As a matter of fact, so do Republicans, by the way. Stop thinking and believe in me. On one side, it's stop thinking and believe in global warming. Stop thinking and believe in homophobia. Stop thinking and believe in, what I fill in the blank, whatever the doxy of the moment is. And on the conservative side, it's stop thinking and believe in the Republican Party. Stop thinking and believe in, I don't know what they stand for, but something, I don't know what it is. I think they stand opposed to Democrats occasionally, at least they say so. So we are a hairbreadth away from a dictatorship, an absolute dictatorship. And as we heard in that clip, after Hitler had total power, the Reichstag became a collection of stooges. There was no longer a free press. That was chilling, wasn't it? Party members or related to the party ran everything. Does that not like sound like ABC, CBS, NBC, MSNBC, CNN, etc.? Doesn't it sound exactly like that? Isn't that what you've been complaining? When you say media bias, we've all heard that over and over again, like parrots. There's few code words that you haven't used on radio over the years. You've learned to repeat them like good little parrots. Like you all know the word Alinsky, and you think it's a secret code word. It's like a secret handshake. And somehow you think you've earned a master's degree in political science when you call radio shows and you say, Alinsky, he's following the Alinsky program. Or there's media bias on MSNBC. Well, okay, we all know that. But I'm trying to do this for you, which is raise it up to a higher level, making you understand where we're at. We're way beyond baby talk. Barack Obama is such a maniac for power and control. He's so evil in my estimation. He has such evil intent towards this nation that unless he is stopped right now through impeachment, which I don't care whether it can win or lose, it will expose this man for what he really is. Unless he is stopped right now, it will get much worse before it gets at all better. As you know, Congress is nothing more than a collection of stooges, with the occasional honest, independent man or woman who was elected at the last election. But where were they put? Where were the young conservatives put by McDonald Duck and what's his name? Boner. Where did Boner and McDonald Duck put them? Put them at the back of the bus. Made sure you never heard from them again. Why? Because they're part of the collection of stooges. And the only explanation is not that they're being blackmailed because they wrestled with boys in their youth. Not at all. It's because they got what they wanted, which is large, large amounts of the public treasury for projects in their state. Nothing more nor less than that. Take a look at what Mitch McDonald Duck brought to Kentucky. Was it not a $1 billion bridge to nowhere? I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Well, the headline screams, Baltimore residents who wanted cops to leave neighborhoods now afraid to go outside. After the race hustlers like Obama, Sharpton, whatever his name was, the attorney general, so-called, went to Baltimore, stirring up trouble in the streets before it happened, which led to rioting, looting, and deranged violence. The loony left turned on the police, told the police to get out of their neighborhoods. So the police left their neighborhoods, and now the murderous criminals are on a murderous rampage in the heart of Baltimore, and people are free to go out of their houses. In the black neighborhoods, by the way, let's be very clear. So I'm showing you how this can metastasize into a nation by bringing you the example of South Africa after apartheid, which you probably don't know what's going on there because there's been a cordon sanitaire put around the truth about what's happened in South Africa since apartheid has been eliminated. You know nothing about it. It's a very important model for you to understand. So let me take a quick call and I'll give you some facts. Tony on WMAL, go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yes, Dr. Savage, you are a very logical man, so it's hard for me to understand how you would not understand if a boy sees his grandfather's teeth get kicked in or his grandmother spat on.
Yeah. I heard the whole story. So in other words, you're justifying rape and murder. You're saying that it was done to them, so it's just payback. Isn't that your argument?
No, it's a disgusting thing. But if a human being...
Well, what are you saying? You're justifying the murders and rapes by blacks in South Africa. Isn't that what you're saying? Stop asking me about an imaginary grandmother. I'm asking you, is that what you're saying? You're justifying the rape epidemic and the murder epidemic in South Africa. Isn't that what you're saying?
No, I'm presenting reason.
No, you're not presenting reason because you need to have facts to have reason. You're presenting what's known as a facile argument. And a facile argument is based upon no facts whatsoever. It's based upon hot air. But if you'd like to learn something and put it into your thick head, stay tuned because I'll give you the actual facts about South African rape and murder, the epidemic that's going on since apartheid, and you'll find out that the rate is much higher than it was when the evil white man ruled South Africa. Don't justify it by what happened. Listen to what is happening.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
This was recorded live in Washington Square Park, New York, 1968, by an unknown recording artist. We're talking about what happened in South Africa after apartheid. The propaganda would have you believe that everything is wonderful there and everyone's happy and things are better for all. And it looked like it would be that way for a while after the scourge of apartheid was finally smashed to pieces in 1994. The country looked like it was going to go ahead with a bright future. But it's not what's happening now. After Mandela died, things have degenerated. And there's a rape epidemic, a murder epidemic that is higher than most countries on earth. By the way, when apartheid ended, the life expectancy, let's put aside race for a minute, because many of you are sitting there saying, oh, it's because they were oppressed, they're just getting even. That's what the last caller said. When I said to him, that's a facile argument based upon hot air, not based upon facts. And I want to stiffen my argument with some actual facts so the man can think the next time he wants to justify murder and rape. So let's give you some facts. Let's put aside rape and murder. How about life expectancy? Okay. When the evil white man ruled Africa, South Africa, the life expectancy was about 64 years of age, the same as in Turkey and Russia. Now that there's been local rule, it's about age 56, the same as Somalia. Now there are about 132.4 rapes per 100,000 people per year, the highest in the world. You're going to blame that on the white man? 132.4 rapes per 100,000 people per year. What does that really mean? Botswana has the second highest rate with 93. Sweden has the third highest rate with 64. By the way, that's Muslims doing gang rapes on white women in Sweden. They won't tell you that either. No other nation on earth exceeds 32. Now, you want to hear more? I'm reading from a great article, National Review Online, by Josh Gelertner. It's an incredible article. I linked it on Michael Savage. For those of you who are interested in the facts, you can read it. So a 2013 piece on WorldNet Daily quotes a woman named Mercer. She's a South African writer who moved with her family to Israel before the end of apartheid. Her father was a vocal opponent of apartheid. In other words, he was a Jewish liberal. He hated apartheid. He was a good Jewish liberal. Sound familiar? And he marched like Bernie Sanders. We shall overcome. Then he fled. And by the way, before he fled, he was harassed by the evil white South African security forces for being a commie. Then he leaves South Africa. And so what is the Mercer family saying now? She's saying that with all her anti-apartheid background, and she was opposed to it, more people are murdered in 1 week under African rule than died under detention of the Afrikaner government over the course of 4 decades. Let me repeat that for those of you out there who think that there is justification for murder and rape by the blacks of South Africa. And this was stated by a woman whose family fought for the overthrow of the white Afrikaner. And then she fled to Israel, of course, as typical liberals will do. The ones, for example, who fled New York after wrecking New York and fleeing to Vermont and then bringing their poison to Vermont and putting that poison mouth in Bernie Sanders. Very classic liberalism. They argue for everything that is good that is bad, and they make everything that is bad good. They ruin things around them, then they run out of the cities, and they ruin the surrounding nations, surrounding countryside, the surrounding counties. More people are murdered in 1 week under African rule than died under detention of the Afrikaner government over the course of roughly 4 decades, 40 years. South African government estimates that there are 31 murders per 100,000 people per year. That's 50 people a day. That would make South Africa the 10th most murderous country in the world outpacing Mexico, Rwanda, and both Sudans. And that's using South Africa's official estimates, but the outside estimate is about 100% higher, right? So what you're getting right now is the fact that South Africa's government, which has been led by Nelson Mandela's ANC since the end of apartheid, is major league incompetent and corrupt. Sounds like Detroit, doesn't it? That's because there is one-party rule of the type you have in California. And one-party rule does not promote integrity. One-party rule in New York State, has that promoted integrity? Run by the communist, socialist, Democrat, Islamist bloc under Andrew Cuomo's father? I don't even know his name. Mario Cuomo, I think. No, Mario's dead. God rest his soul. I can't even keep up with the Perry Cuomo clan. Unemployment in South Africa, 25%. Blame it on the white man. But the head of South Africa, President Jacob Zuma of the ANC, recently spent $24 million of public money to add a pool and amphitheater to his private home. Sounds like Obama, doesn't it? With him and the missus taking all of those expensive trips. You see, nothing is new under the sun. Not long after this story broke about this expense, Zuma was elected to a second five-year term. Why? Crime and corruption is out of control. People don't care. Doesn't it sound like New York City? Doesn't it sound like California? Right. You see, Nelson Mandela was able to hold the Rainbow Nation together, but he's gone. And now, according to the human rights organization Genocide Watch, South Africa is at a pre-genocide stage 6 of 8. They're getting ready to slaughter the white people, according to Genocide Watch. South Africa is skidding towards anarchy, and they're looking to blame somebody. And in 2010, a prominent member of the ANC, the African National Congress, named Julius Malema, revived an old anti-apartheid song whose lyrics we have call for genocide. Shoot the Boer, shoot the shoot, shoot the Boer, shoot, shoot. Boer means farmer in Afrikaans. Colloquially, it means South African. This race monger, Malema, was ejected from the ANC and convicted of hate speech. But he's since formed a new opposition party, the Economic Freedom Fighters, which is the third largest party in the parliament in South Africa. 7 months after Malema's conviction, President Zuma, the president of South Africa, sang the genocide song himself, leading a crowd in a musical chant, "We are going to shoot them with machine guns. They are going to run. The cabinet will shoot them with the machine gun. Shoot the Boer. We're going to hit them. They're going to run." Watch the video on michaelsavage.com. It's in the left panel, 1, 2, 3, 5 down. South African blacks sing about killing whites. We have pledged ourselves to kill them. But what about the police? The police have been ordered to stop reporting murders by race because too many whites are being killed. The police have also disarmed and disbanded groups of farmer minutemen, organized to provide mutual security. Sound familiar? They were, their weapons were taken away. So if you think that your little AR-15 or your little pop gun that you have in your house is going to protect you from this evil government, I think you better start dreaming again. Many of you, I see the blogs. Oh, yeah, let them come near me. I'll blow them off my poor. I see all of the rhetoric. Let them come near me. I'm ready for them. We're loaded with Smith & Wesson. Everyone's a tough guy with their guns. They're little teeny pop shooters. What are you going to do when Obama orders your gun seized? Well, I'm not going to do it, Mike. I'm going to fight. Look, I'm fighting right now. Yeah, you're not going to do anything. So what has happened now that the police have disarmed and disbanded groups of white former Minutemen organized to provide mutual security against the murderers and rapists? According to Genocide Watch, their families have been subjected to murder, rape, mutilation, and torture. Did you hear that? Murder, rape, mutilation, and torture. I don't know if you understand any of this. Now let's look at the history of South Africa. Because the ANC government, which is black, refers to whites as settlers. What you don't know is that white South Africans have been native for more than 350 years. Whites were farming South Africa before Newton discovered gravity. But here's something else all of you geniuses may not yet know. The dominant Bantu peoples of today's South Africa displaced the Khoisan peoples who lived in South Africa before them. The archaeological record is unclear, but it seems that the first Bantu appeared in what is now South Africa about 400 years before the first European. That's a long time, but not time immemorial. Did you hear what I just said? So, right now, we shouldn't worry much about the whites of South Africa. We should be focused on the Yazidis of Iraq, who are in the direst circumstances imaginable, surrounded by the Islamo-fascists, who may not survive because Obama is not lifting a finger to save them from rape, murder, child rape, enslavement. I mean, how could a black president not do anything to stop ongoing slavery while continuously referring to slavery in America, not doing anything to stop the slavery ongoing right now in the Middle East? What a disgusting human being he is. What a lowlife he is. Isn't it true? Why won't Obama help the Yazidis? Why? Well, you get the picture. A little history is quite a tonic. But it's not a tonic for the propaganda that continues to be disseminated by the radical left in America and around the world. Now, I want to go back to a little grass shack in Kealakahua, Hawaii. I'm going to take a break in a certain direction now because I've covered a little bit of what I wanted to do. I'm going to talk about sex in the Silicon Valley and how the techies, even though they may be successful, don't know how to talk to women or meet a woman. I'm sorry. I'm going to wind up dying of consumption after over. My thing is gone, the flu, the cold, but I'm left with a miserable cough brought to me, no doubt, by one of the wonderful, what are they calling our international travelers from South America? Probably from international commuters from El Salvador. Perhaps one of Obama's children, the same ones who gave us the viral epidemic that killed people and paralyzed them over the last year, again hushed up by your friends like George Staphylococcus. They didn't report the number of children who were crippled, paralyzed, and killed by this virus brought in by the Central American children, the sacred children whose feet Nancy Pelosi allegedly washed. Well, apparently this virus is so epidemic in the Bay Area right now where I live. Everybody I know knows someone who's gotten sick from a, quote, virus. And they're all saying, I never got sick before. I don't know why I'm getting sick before. Well, you should have listened to old Mike Savage when he talked about immigrants and epidemics. You should have listened to me when I warned you about immigrants and epidemics. You should have listened to me when I warn you now that your borders, language, and culture are being erased. And if you think that's going to be better for someone in this country, you're mistaken. The blacks will not benefit from the erasure of borders, the erasure of our language, and the erasure of our culture. They will not benefit. In fact, they're targeted more than you can imagine by the evildoers who run this country. They're being displaced by the poorest of the poor of Mexico, El Salvador, and Guatemala. Now, why would those who allege to love the black people so much in this country want to bring in poorer people than them? Can anyone explain that? And why do the black people not see what's being done to them? Why? That's how divide and conquer works. So anyway, I'm doing the best I can to piece it all together for you. I don't want to stay on this topic all day. In a few seconds when I come back, or in the next hour rather, I'm going to read you two winning essays of what it means to be an American. I think they're going to be in the five finalists. Remember, many people talk about what they're going to do. I talk about what I've actually done. Many people talk about what they're going to do when they retire from radio. And they wouldn't let go of a nickel if it cost nothing to do so. They don't give a dime away during their lifetime. They tell you what they're going to do, yeah. I'm going to read to you the $100,000 prize winners. I don't know who they are yet. Let me put it that way. We've gone through about 1,700 essays. It's been a Herculean task. I can't imagine that you have any idea what it was like to screen these. What? And some of them are amazing. I have two of them in my hand, which I think are going to be finalists. I'm not going to tell you who they are because I don't know who they are. I only have the essays. That's how it's been done. And then I'm going to give you the names of the animal charities and the military charities that I and my family have actually funded over the years so that you don't get some smoke in your eyes about people who say they're going to do things and don't do them. And for those of you who think I give nothing back, listen carefully. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN. I am the... So we're talking about what's happening in Baltimore as a result of the hate campaign against police by Obama, Holder, de Blasio, and others. And if the entire nation goes by the way of Baltimore, this could lead to a South African situation, which is now experiencing a horrendous rape and murder epidemic and an economic collapse. You may not know this, but blame this on whoever you want. But as South Africa has fallen apart, Durban has slipped off the list of the world's 50 largest container ports. So the fact of the matter is that used to be one of the greatest shipping ports in the world, and now under local rule, it's falling apart. They're not doing a very good job of it. You can only blame the other person for so long. I don't have a lot of time here, but Hank wants to make a different point. Hank from WABC, please make your point. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I was saying you were comparing South Africa to after apartheid, when I feel like it should be compared to South Africa before apartheid.
All right, so what do you know about African to African life before the white man came to South Africa?
No, I don't know South Africa's history before apartheid. But
you're sure it was better? Your assumption is that it was better before the evil white man colonized it, right?
No, I'm not saying that either. What I'm saying is that would be a better comparison than afterwards.
It would be a very fine comparison, but how was life when there were no white men there? I think that's the question, isn't it?
We don't know, but...
What do you mean we don't know? You mean you don't know?
Yeah, I don't know, but there's two options.
Oh, but people do know. There's a historical record of what Africans did to each other before the evil Christian white man invaded that humble country.
Well, there's
and we do know that the dominant Bantus of today's South Africa displaced a previous group of blacks who lived in South Africa before them by murdering them and driving them out. So I don't think they all got along with each other, do you?
Of course not. No, nowhere in the country. I mean, even in Europe.
All right. So what I'm saying to you is be careful who you start saying you don't want in your country because you're liable to wind up with something worse.
No, I didn't say that. I'm American, so I'm not from South Africa.
I understand. Well, you're trying to get to some other point. But, you know, Hank, I don't think you mean evil or have any ill will. I don't mean it that way. But many of us have this mythology of life before the white man came to America, for example, where they think the Native Americans all smoked a peace pipe with each other. And they had this image of the noble savage. Well, the truth is that the Indian tribes warred with each other on a regular basis. They skinned each other alive in front of their wives and children. They raped each other's daughters. They committed the most merciless, sadistic acts to each other before the evil Christian white male invaded America. So this mythology of the noble savage is not unique to South Africa.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected talk, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
There's a drive into deep right field. That ball is going. It is gone. Maris hitting his second homer of the day. And the Yankees, sixth homer.
It is Michael Savage. Take the boy out of New York, but you can't take the New York out of the boy. As I imagine to fish my naked arm into a Coca-Cola box on a hot July day on Ludlow Street with big pieces of ice and soda on the bottom to fish out a bottle of soda, I am thinking about today's radio show and how the world has changed. Indeed, has changed because nothing stays the same. No, nothing stays the same. So as I began hour one, I talked about propaganda used in World War II to defeat the Nazis and the Japanese imperialists. I talked about how we need propaganda against the Arab murderers in ISIS to show the world what subhuman scum they really are instead of glorifying them and making it sound as though it's just a simple a difference in opinion. And then we segued into what life is like in South Africa under local rule and how the murder rate and the rape rate is way beyond anything anyone could imagine, how the world covers it up because they want you to believe that all is well after the white man's rule ended. But that's not what's happened. South Africa is now the 10th most murderous country in the world. The survival rate, let's put aside rape and murder. What about life expectancy? You can't blame that on the white man. When the white man ruled Africa, just as apartheid ended, the life expectancy in South Africa was 64. Now it's 56, the same as Somalia. Who are you going to blame for that? Richard Nixon? And what about the economics of South Africa now that the evil white man is gone? Well, they have a port city there known as Durban that used to be one of the world's giants in shipping. It's now not a giant in shipping. It slipped off the world's 50 largest container ports. I guess the evil white man was good at something. And that leads us back to Baltimore, where the police are afraid to do their job. They're more afraid of going to jail for doing their job than getting shot under local rule. So be careful what you wish for, my friends. You better be careful about the rainbow nation you're wishing for, because it may not be such a picnic. It may all melt right in front of your eyes. And now we move on to some other topics, random topics, that is. I would be remiss not to tell you that second week sales for my novel Countdown to Mecca were great. And once again, although the book outsold four other books in the top 15, the New York Times refuses to list my novel Countdown to Mecca in the top 15. It doesn't hurt me very much, but it should hurt you to show you that a once great newspaper has fallen to the level of being nothing but a propaganda sheet that will even hide the sale of a book because they don't like its politics. But nevertheless, I wanted you to know that, and I wanted to remind you that it's because of this audience that Countdown to Mecca had a great second week of sales. Again, something you won't be seeing anywhere soon, meaning a list. And I'd like to ask you to look it up in a bookstore this weekend and buy one for your father or your grandfather or your husband, because they will love it. Teach your husband to read this weekend. Tell him to put down that sports game and teach him to read a good book. He might actually thank you for it. I want to again apologize in advance for my slight cough. I've been very ill. I got a virus that I never thought would hit me. I tried everything known to mankind, and I think that's why I got over it in 4 or 5 days. But I have a residual choke. You can hear it in my cough, right? So, I mean, I apologize, but I'd rather do this than not do the show. I hope it's not too upsetting to you. Now, oh, that's bad. I should hit the cough drop, but I don't. You should hit right. You shouldn't listen to that. The Savage Family and Animal Charities. We've done an awful lot to save dogs from pounds. Over 5 years, $150,000. We contributed a lot of money to prisoner pup training programs where prisoners were given dogs in prison. We gave service animals to disabled vets of Iraq and Afghan wars. We gave a lot of money to the International Foundation for Animal Welfare, the Gorilla and Elephant Funds. We have supported Chimp Haven in many ways since 2005. We paid for a bridge and a kiosk for the chimps, and they're named for one of the family businesses. We gave them money for their annual fruits and vegetables diet budget, sorry, for the animals. Chimp Haven, by the way, is the federally subsidized haven for lab primates who are retired to live out their life. It's a very sad story. I mean, what's done to these animals. You talk about what the inhumanity of man to man. The inhumanity of man to man is one thing, which is bad enough. But what we do to animals is heartbreaking. You know, it's, you love animals. You could see the innocence of these things. And after they retire, instead of killing them, they go to this little place. They live out. I don't know what they do there. They get a bagel at night, a television show. There are 300 chimps waiting to get in. And they're trying to raise enough extra money to build facilities. We've pledged a lot of money over 5 years. I don't want to list the amount. Locally in the Marin County area, we gave $100,000 for a rebuild of the kennel for the Marin Humane Society. And we bought a washer and dryers on the commercial level for the staff. And we have ongoing intermittent support. And on a local level, on another level, remember I bought a van for that wonderful veteran and his dog. We bought him a van. Now, why am I telling you all of this? I'm trying to go to other loudmouths in the conservative media to let go of a nickel. Maybe they can give up a dime now and again to a charity instead of talking about charities that they help support by having people from the charities on their show. That's a little different than letting go of a nickel out of your pocket. Maybe they've given more than I have. I hope so. I hope they embarrass me by showing the millions they've given away. There'll be nothing better than to actually see a dime come out of a conservative's pocket. But in my experience, the conservatives are the cheapest people on the planet. They make liberal doctors from the Bronx look like benevolent scholars. Most conservatives don't give a dime, by the way, to anything. They talk about how much they do by talking about the charity or having someone on from the charity because it costs them nothing. But to let go of a nickel from their pocket is another story. So I'm doing this to goad people to giving up some money for something instead of talking about what they will do. Now I want to read you an essay. I really shouldn't because my voice isn't good. I should fake the show today and let you do the talking, but it's not in me. So I'll read a piece of a winning essay. You know, okay, we got 1,675 or 1,700 essays for the winning $100,000 scholarship program. Oh, by the way, I made a commitment that 50% of all royalties I receive on Countdown to Mecca, write it down. Write it down. Make a note of it. Write it down in cement. 50% of all royalties I get from Countdown to Mecca sales, I will give to the Savage Scholarship Fund, period. So every time you buy a book, remember that you're doing good as well. So, you know, you get a lot of essays and there are certain disqualifications in them. And one of them is they can't identify their race. We don't want to know anything about their race or their country of origin because it tends to bias the judge. And many of the kids have been trained to give their race in order to bias the selection for colleges and scholarships. The minute we see them telling us where they're from or that, no matter how good the essay is, it's a DQ immediately. I want to read you something we got the other day that's awesome because nobody wrote anything like this. Most of them tell you what's good about America and what it means to be an American, which is what we want. Here's a different one, though. This is it came out of nowhere. Ready for this? It opens like this. It's called Dreams. It is the morning of April 29th, 1945. The men of the 42nd Division of the United States 7th Infantry approach a strip of railroad outside of a large industrial complex. The spring breeze fills their lungs as they press on towards their destination. Suddenly, the sweet breeze is no longer fresh, but turns into a familiar smell to these men who have made their homes on the battlefield. It is the smell of rotting flesh baking in the sun, and it pervades every thought of these men as they approach these forsaken boxcars sitting on the tracks. The sound of shots ring out as the locks of the boxcar doors are shot off, and the door opens to reveal its cargo. A bloody hand reaches out of the door as it opens. No, not reaches, but instead limply falls out as the rest of the corpse follows it. The door of the boxcar is flung open the rest of the way to reveal what is inside. Nearly 70 bodies of men, women, and children are stuffed inside, their emaciated bodies shriveled around their skeletons and eyes sunken in their face. Nearly all of their hands are cut open and bloody from beating the sides of the boxcar that they were shoved into like cattle and forced to endure conditions that not even an animal should be subject to. The men of the 42nd turn their eyes from the horror in front of them to the industrial complex that is before them. I don't want to read anymore because you can pretty much imagine what it was like. And this writer, I don't know whether it's a man or a woman student, writes about the horrors of what the Nazi regime did to other human beings, to their own people and to the Jewish people, and how the U.S. liberated these concentration camps. And then this writer goes to the bigger picture. And she says, let's take an honest look across the globe together. What country holds the torch for freedom that all others look to and try to imitate? What country makes its hobby destroying evil men with dreams of destruction? When people flee their country due to oppression and tyranny, where do they dream of going? Without any apology or shame, there should be no American who was afraid to say, America is the last great hope of mankind. And without her, the entire world is condemned to live out the dreams of evil men. This is what makes America great, the resolve to stand against evil. No polished phrasing can be used to lend power to this greatness. No man can take a picture of it and save it for future generations to enjoy. The dream of liberty is what inspires good men to stand up and fight for God, for family, and for country against men whose dreams disregard freedom and seek to destroy faith in God and the unity of a people. There's more to this. It's so beautifully written, and it's written by a college student who is hoping to win a Savage scholarship of $20,000 over 2 years. And whoever wrote this is probably going to be a winner. I don't know. I don't have it yet. I think so. So if the person's listening, we love your essay. We had so many good ones. This was amongst the best. And remember, every time you purchase a copy of Countdown to Mecca, available on Amazon right now or in a bookstore, I promise I will give 50% of all the royalties to the Savage Scholarship Fund, because I want to make the Savage Scholarship Fund of what it means to be an American a permanent legacy of mine. Meaning, God willing, long down the road, God willing, when I decide it's over, or it decides for me it's over, or they decide for me it's over, or God decides for me he needs someone up there to entertain him. I want the Savage Scholarship Fund to run on and on and on and on, and I want there to be more winners than I have now, and I want to fund it with a lot of funding and all of that, but I didn't even know it would grow this big so fast. I just put $100,000 into it to start with, plus support money, and it's now gotten... We've gotten applications from around the country. It's awesome to see how many kids are deserving. I guess that's what I'm saying. And how many of them love America. You have no idea what hope there is for the country out there and the young people. You never see these people on the media. All you see are the ones with the nose rings and nipple rings with the purple hair sleeping with their girlfriend. They want you to believe that's America. All the sickos in the media want you to see are those who hate America and spit on the flag. They don't show you the beautiful children of America. They don't show you the future hope of America. But I want to remind you what's out there. Don't give up. And don't assume it's all over just because we have such a hateful image of the young people today. No, they're not all haters. Some of them love this great country. And there's going to be 5 winners of the Savage Scholarship Fund, $20,000 each, over 2 years. That's year one. I hope that by year two we can expand it to much more than that. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN. I can't stay in bed. I'm one of these people I can't stay in bed. I try to. Now, one of the reasons I don't go to these places that we help out, like Chimp Haven, is I feel bad for the animals. You know, I don't like looking at them. They look sad to me, all of them. The people who run them, God bless them. But I imagine if I went to Chimp Haven, where they rescue the chimps after they were tortured for years in laboratories, they'd look at me and like my eyes would write a script that goes back and forth where I could hear the chimps saying, "Big deal, so you gave me a tree to sit in. What are you, a big shot? You got a house, a refrigerator, a car, a boat. You fly around, I sit here in a stinking tree, and take a look at my behind. You think there's a normal chimp's behind that's red like that? Don't be mistaken. It's for the years of experiments with those hemorrhoid drugs. It's you and your kind that did that to us." No, I can't go to these places. I have a kaleidoscopic mind, and I have to go to humor in order to survive anything. So I create imaginary dialogues with animals that, of course, are not real. And it's my way of coping. It's my coping strategy with sadness. Always turn it into a humorous situation if you can. It worked for me when I was a kid. I entertained my mother because of my poor brother, my silent brother. I had to learn to entertain her to stop her from crying. And that's how I learned to be your entertainer. Thank you very much, Rimshot. So out of sadness, humor can grow. And out of humor, and wisdom can grow. And not all of us are lucky enough to have wisdom. As most of us struggle to have it, even for a second in our lives. But the answer to it all, frankly, is humor, I think, kindness, trying to get along with each other. And if you read the Bible, again, I'm not selling anything to you, many of you are atheists, many of you are religious, you look at the Bible, it's filled with fire and brimstone, and everyone's dying, and things are this, and cities are blowing up. And then in the middle of it, you come to an Isaiah where he says the lion shall lie down with the lamb. You've heard about that one, right? The dream of that time that will come. Or he writes Isaiah that with righteousness God will judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the land. Well, my father was a cynic, a Russian immigrant who worked very hard, and he used to walk the streets of New York and hold my hand and try to warn me about what was coming. And he would actually mock the Bible, by the way. He's not a religious man. People don't understand that. They think because the way I speak that I grew up in a religious family. He was an atheist through and through, and he would say to me, he would scoff at the Bible. He would say, the Bible says, I think he said, no, Jesus said the meek shall inherit the earth. And he would look at me and say, Michael, you know what the meek shall inherit? The meek shall inherit dog crap. That's what they're going to inherit. He said, that's what I've seen in life. The meek shall inherit, I can't even use the word, but he used that word. I was 5 years old. So you wonder why I'm cynical. But the Bible, Isaiah says, the meek shall, you know, inherit this or that. And in this world, this imaginary world, the wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them, and a cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. Now, what is that about? It's an imaginary world that Isaiah wrote about. It's an imaginary world. So without imaginary worlds, we can't live. We all have to have an imaginary world to live in. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Yes, no, maybe.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
To the Savage Nation, Rock and Roll Friday. From the Bible to rock and roll to dogs to charities to chimps to South Africa to New York. All aboard. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Many of you don't understand what I do. Many of you do understand what I do. The higher intellects love this show. I didn't say the higher educated. I said the higher intellects understand this show. They get all the brain waves. I just got an email. I was going to go to the Bill Gates piece that I promised you yesterday on the fear he has of a pandemic wiping out 50% of mankind, which I believe is highly probable as well, which is probably long overdue, incidentally, because of a number of reasons. The Earth cannot sustain this number of people. Impossible. Especially since we're exploiting the animals and the planet at an extent that it's unsustainable. Pardon for using a liberal phrase, but it's 100% true. It's an unsustainable system. But let's put the mathematics of that aside. I just got an email from a man a couple of weeks ago. I remember an artist called the show, and I asked him to send me a picture of his pictures. His name was John Duggar, D-U-G-G-E-R. I never heard from him. This just pops up, and he says, just Google my name, John Duggar. And he goes on and on about radio, and he says, look, Michael, I have to say this, Dr. Savage. First about radio. As a boy, I built Heathkit radio receivers and kept my own radio at the head of my bed, overlooking the stand of blue spruce trees outside my window in Michigan. That little radio of mine had drift. It slowly moved its tuning focus down the bandwidth by itself, pulling in stations slowly far away through the night as it kept me company. Listen to this. It's beautiful. In those days, the radio shows were so unique and memorable. Arthur Godfrey, country evangelists, corn prices, late night baseball doubleheaders under arc lamps, Tennessee Ernie Ford, hogbacks, prairie philosophers, the lot. It became the subliminal tapestry of sounds in the background of my youth. So I have a special affection for radio, and I listen to you, Dr. Savage, on the Drake S8 receiver or my little Grundig G5 portable, which is the portable shortwave receiver I always take to Europe. Your show is really like a radio Chautauqua, where you mix current events, recipes for meatballs, politics, sports, and art, and your own memories of times past, as Proust would say. I know that other radio hosts have criticized your format and your popularity, but this sense that you have, what Kipling calls the common touch, is so important to conveying your message. A spoonful of sugar makes the medicine go down, so to speak. Secondly, Dr. Savage, when you mentioned Lysenko, I almost spilled my coffee, because no one I know has mentioned him since I did my Russian studies years ago and understood what a dogmatic and ideological disaster the Soviet regime was. Then you mentioned Emmanuel Velikovsky, and I actually did spill my coffee on the carpet. When you spoke last week about the rise of the Nazis, I had to call to relate how the Wilson Doctrine so harmed the peace after World War I because it created a formula for equating national self-determination with races, such that the liberals were quite unable to withstand Hitler's demand for reincorporating ethnic Germans from other nation states into a great Third Reich. This same liberal philosophy of using racial metrics to define communities or areas of separation are still a beloved tool of the liberal political class, much like the liberals and labor socialists in Churchill's time. In fact, it was a bit of a parlor game in England before World War I to try to draw a map on the tablecloth of how the dinner guests would reapportion the Balkans, and on and on. Lately, your motto, Michael Savage, Borders, Language, and Culture, has always appeared to me to be more than a conservative touchstone or shibboleth, although it certainly is that externally. But if one understands that same formula, as it were, internally, what an immense guiding light it becomes. Because borders can be understood to be about personal borders, and filling those borders with the most positive content one can achieve, as well as setting oneself apart, not letting others unduly influence you or overrun your borders. Language is not just to speak American, but to speak our mother tongue, English, in the most correct and literate manner, to be well-read and gracious in delivery and debate. Finally, culture, to be personally cultured in both the local and international senses, to behave and live in a cultured manner, no matter what economic standard one obtains. These guidelines are as applicable to modern America as to Edwardian England or Cicero's Rome. Michael, borders, language, and culture are what makes us well-rounded, accomplished and social in the most correct and far-reaching manner, he writes, they are to live by. This is one man's email to me. I'll read the last paragraph. Thank you for sending me your latest Jack Hatfield novel, Countdown to Mecca. I have enjoyed the first two and your other works, most especially The Coming Civil War, are favorites of mine. If you like anything in my works below, I'll see if I get something of a like manner, blah, blah, blah. And thanks for responding to my call last week. Sincerely, John Duggar. You see the kind of listeners I have? Why I love the show. I tell you the truth. It's my lifeline to my own sanity. I don't have people that I can really talk to other than outside of one or two in my life. There's very few people really to talk to. I'm a loner at the end of the day. As well as I can communicate, and believe me, I'm a people person. I like people. At least I did when I was a boy. Maybe I'm imagining I like people. But if you put me in a social group, I'm actually quite sociable. I enjoy people. I get along with people. And such, but I don't have a lot of people around me. But I have a lot of listeners, and amongst the listeners, there are people like this who really appreciate what I'm doing, what I'm trying to do, and how I do it, and what form it takes. That's all I want to say. That's all I'm saying. So to me, radio is my lifeline. You, my audience, are my life rafts, and I know it's the same for you. You not only hear me, but you hear others call and make you feel sane in an insane world, right? Isn't that true? You know it's true. When you listen to the Savage Nation and you hear a caller or you hear a read an email, I read an email like that on the air, you say, you know what, I'm not alone. And you no longer feel isolated the way Obama wants you to feel, like you're the wrong one, that you're the last man standing. You're not. You're actually the majority of this country. You're the backbone of America, and you know it when you listen to this show. And how much longer the power structure can tolerate free thinkers like me is anyone's guess. We are devolving rapidly into a fascist dictatorship of a sort of benevolent kind, not the Hitler kind, not the Mussolini kind. We are descending into a fascist dictatorship as sure as I'm standing here, which is why when I began Hour One, I played for you what went on in Nazi Germany and how the Reichstag, their parliament, became nothing but a group of stooges who did the bidding of Hitler, or did the bidding of Mussolini, or did the bidding of the Emperor of Japan. There was no longer a free press, and much of it struck home to me because we're living through this devolution of America. Did Obama start it? Nobody's just liable to end it. It's that simple. So if they were to take me off the air through structures that you can never even imagine, it wouldn't be in the form of making it illegal to do talk radio. They wouldn't do it that way. They could end talk radio in many, many other ways, and they could do it without firing a shot or poisoning anyone's sushi with polonium. I would still do radio, and I would do radio if I had to with a shortwave radio in Mexico. But I don't have to go to Mexico with a shortwave radio. I'm telling you, as long as I have a voice, I'm going to be heard somewhere in the world. And my estimate is that between 50 and 150,000 people would access me on the internet. Now, that's assuming that Obama doesn't cauterize the internet and destroy it. I believe his mania is so great, his ego is so frail, and his desire to control his image is so overwhelming because of the psychosis of fear that operates in his mind, in between his ears, he's liable to do that. And who's going to stand between him and doing that? Tell me. McConnell? Boehner? Who? Ted Cruz is going to save us? So we don't know what tomorrow will bring, do we? Did I know I was going to get a virus that knocked me on my behind? No. We walk around assuming that tomorrow will never come, that tomorrow. I walk around taking my vitamins and nostrums and eating my foods and my garlic and giving this bravado about the three V's, vodka, vitamins, vodka, and vitriol. And it's kept me going a long time. Then all of a sudden, wham, God hits me in the head. I think God did it on purpose. He said to me, okay, you think you got it under control, right? You think you're immortal? I didn't think I was immortal, but you have this image. You're pretty much going to go on and on. Nothing's going to happen to you. And then, you know, this teeny little invisible organism called a virus or a bacteria or a spirochete gets into your body and it brings you down. And no matter how tough you may be or think you are, whether it be tough of mind, tough of body, you're going down. And when you're on your back, and this was only a minor warning, I'll tell you that. When you're on your back, you get to think a lot more about everything, right? You have a lot of time on your hands. Fortunately for me, I think all the time. I really stop thinking, so I'm not afraid of it. It gets exhausting, though, after a while. It gets boring. So, I mean, you turn on the TV. After a while, you watch a movie. You know, you do this, you do that. You go for a tiny walk. You play with the dog. And then the dog becomes your best friend in the whole world again. All over again, you start to see the miracle of an animal. How they lay by your side when you're sick. He wouldn't leave me, this dog, for a minute. My assistant would try to walk him, and he wouldn't leave my side. Just wouldn't go. He would look back at me like, no, I can't leave him. No, I can't leave him. I mean, this dog would trail me into the shower. You know what dogs are. Unbelievable. I mean, I got tears in my eyes thinking about him. How do they make a creature? How does God create a creature like that? How did the dog evolve to become such a loyal friend of man? It's awesome. But I was watching a show, by the way, just to segue into it, on the evolution of the dog. It was PBS last week. Shocking, they did something that wasn't promoting Obama's greatness. And it was a PBS special on how the wolf gave rise to the dog and how quickly it occurred, that it was not through a slow evolutionary leap. It was not through a slow evolutionary process, rather. It would occurred rather rapidly. The evolution of wolf into dog. And it was based upon Russian experiments done in the 1950s under very primitive conditions by a Russian geneticist who raised Arctic wolves in cages and showed how he could select within one generation for a new type of wolf. A new type of fox, not wolf. In one generation, the man was able to alter the genetic structure through artificial selection, the next type of fox. And his argument was that this proved that the dog evolved rapidly from the wolf, not slowly. And it was one of the most fascinating shows I've ever seen. So every time I look at my little 10-pound poodle now, I no longer see a 10-pound poodle per se. I see a wolf. I look in his eyes. I look in his eyes, and I see behind those cute little cuddly eyes, I see the wolf. And I hear it every once in a while, because all you got to do is give this dog something that, like, is his. I mean, look, they have nothing. Let's say you give him a bone or something like that. Then go try to take it away from him. All of a sudden, you hear the wolf come out. Sounds come out of a 10-pound dog you can't believe exists. Like, where'd that come from? It's like a devil came out of that dog. Where'd that sound come from? But you can't. I say, okay, I understand it. You have nothing. God gave you a pair of shoes and a coat for your whole life. You don't have a car. You don't have a nothing. Nothing is yours. No refrigerator. No clothing in the closet. Not a suitcase, a valise. Nothing. The dog has nothing, so you give him a bone. It's his. That's it. That's his entire world. You're trying to take it away from him. So he's going to protect it like a wolf, which teaches us a lot about the poor when you think about it. When you actually think about the very poor who have nothing, when they get a little something, a scrap of something, why they will kill for that scrap of something, now that I think about it. Okay, that's the story. I don't mean to go on and on about this. I just wanted to have a little fun with you. It's a Friday. Thank God it's Friday, man. It's like Saturday and Sunday looks like bedtime for Mike. And I think I've done admirably. I hope the voice comes back in a week or so. And I hope you've not been offended by the weakness in my voice. I'm strong inside, but I can feel a voice is not there. And I listen to the replay, you know. Let me take a quick call. John, KKOB Radio. John, welcome to the program. What's on your mind, John?
Michael. Hello.
Yes.
Yeah, glad to hear that you are feeling better now. I missed you that one day. But anyway, I just wanted to call to say thank you to you, first of all, and your radio program, that you helped myself pass many, many years while I was serving my federal prison term. And you helped me get through, like, day by day, literally, to survive the 12 years that I just got done completing. And was
Wait a minute. Did they let you listen to any radio show in prison?
Yes, they do. There is no restriction.
Wow. That's very liberal. That's very liberal of them.
Yes.
I know the U.S. Armed Forces bans the Savage Nation from military radio. They're only allowed to listen to gay and lesbian rainbow radio.
No, we do have radios available in the commissary. They're little AM and FM, you know, walk.
But wait a minute. Look, you know my politics and not that of the average left-wing prisoner. But wouldn't there be people who would argue with you and say, turn that right-wing crap off?
Michael, the majority of the inmates in there, they despise you.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. So how did you have the guts to play it?
I didn't give a crap. I listened to it, and I'm pretty much a loner anyway. So when people would ask me, oh, what are you listening to? I said, none of your business. But usually if I did comment, I'd say, Michael Savage. Oh, you listen to him.
Yeah, but they never heard me. See, they're the people who are biased. They never heard the show, but they hate me, right?
Oh, yeah. It's so one-sided. They're just...
by the way, John, what were you in for?
Well, I'm ashamed to say it, but I'll say it. Bank robbery.
Thank God it wasn't rape.
Oh, God, no. God, no.
No, it's almost a noble crime in America today compared to what I see going on.
Oh, my.
I mean, you said bank robbery is steps above the president in morality. He's robbing a nation. You only robbed a bank. I mean, you should be given some kind of economics prize. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Hey, Pastor, he always looked a little bit on the, the straighter the guy, you know what I'm saying? The Hastert paid to cover up sexual misconduct, then you put two and two together. Right away, you figure, okay. Right off when I saw it was a cover-up. First thing you think is sex. That's number one. Politician and sex? Are you kidding me? Then they say, okay, man or woman? So they say, I don't know. Say, wrestling coach, man. I don't know the answer. All right, let me see that move again. All right, Johnny, get on your stomach there on the mat. You other guys can leave. The day's over. Thank you very much. We'll see you Monday. Johnny, you stay on the mat there. We're going to practice that chokehold again, Johnny. You just stay right there. Okay, guys, Monday. By the way, lock the door and pull the alarm. Another Republican caught up in another sex scandal with a boy. Oy, oy, oy. Yeah, but the taxes are lower, I know. Yeah, they're all Americans.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
I'm aware I may not be the youngest candidate in this race, but I have one big advantage. I've been coloring my hair for years. You're not going to see me turn white in the White House.
Man, do we deserve her. I mean, when you look at those lowlifes on television with reality shows, the hags, the gold diggers, the maniacs, the sex-crazed idiots, we don't deserve anything better than Hillary Clinton. She's the perfect woman for our time. Changes accent as needed. Welcome to hour number three of the Savage Nation. World's second richest man suggests a three-day work week. That caught my eye. Mexican billionaire Carlos Slim. Is that a real name? I'm not knocking the guy. I'm afraid of him. But the thing is, can anyone ever name Slim? Because someone once said that you can never be too thin or too rich. This guy is both. Not a bad line. Mexican billionaire Carlos Slim is suggesting that workers shift to a three-day work week. The catch, he would require 11-hour work days and workers to stay on the job until age 70 or 75. Yeah, right. Sure. Okay. Yeah, I'll take it. Yeah, I'll do 3 days. That's fine. I'll work till I'm 75. Yeah, they're not going to go out early on that one. He says, well, they're going to have to work for more years until they're 70, 71. Just work 3 days a week, so 11 hours a day, says Slim, the second richest man on earth. Did you know in Mexico they work harder than we do? I can tell you right here they work harder than we do. Every house that's being built is them. They're singing, they're dancing, they're building, they're working from morning till night. On their day off, they look for a job. And you wonder why. You wonder why, huh? You wonder why. A hammer, a saw, a cutter, a tile whistle while they work. You have to watch it to see it with your own eyes, to not be a fool. The white man will work somewhere, I think, at some time. He might. The white young man doesn't work, except the two guys that work for me, three guys. Young, they don't work, the white guys. They want to just lay around and like smoke pot or something. I don't know what they do. They all want to run a website. In Mexico, they work 2,317 hours a year, or 44.6 hours a week, compared to an average of 1,798 hours a year in the United States. I don't know if that's a true figure. Is that amongst workers or even amongst those who don't work at all? For U.S. workers, the 40-hour, 5-day work week became the standard in 1938. Despite gains in productivity and predictions of a significantly shorter work week, it has remained the standard for more than 75 years. 40-hour, 5-day work week. Who knows? I could ask you, I mean, would you want to work 3 days a week? What would you do with your time off? You go crazy. Yeah, most people would much rather work four. What do you say, three or four? Workers have a 3 day work week. You'd work 3 days and be off four? In my case, when I was like working a 5 day job, I had 5 day jobs, I would have given anything for a 4 day work week. I would never have wanted just three and off four. It's too much time off. You know, all I would have done was drink beer or something and sit in the country and do nothing when I was young. But I would have liked to work Monday, Tuesday, be off Wednesday, work Thursday, Friday, off Saturday, Sunday. I could have handled that. A person needs work to be sane. At least I do. I don't know how anyone else could get through a life. But the thought of it, I don't know, a 3 day work. In radio right now, I wouldn't mind doing a 4 day. But the format's 5 days, 3 hours. It's a long format. The long show format has been around a long time. And even though the listenership has gone down in talk radio and the time spent listening has gone down in talk radio, no one's changed the format for a number of reasons. But the ideal format might be 4 days, 2 hours a day. I don't know what it is. Who knows? It's never going to change. Things don't change rapidly in any business. They just don't. It's not the way it works. Phone number here, by the way, if you care to join the program on any of the topics I've covered, which have been vast, 855-400-7282. I wanted to get to one other item that we haven't yet gotten to. Robert, you pulled some of those wonderful propaganda clips from World War II, and you played clip 18. Is clip 19 an original one on propaganda? Is that a good one? Let's hear clip 19 on propaganda from World War II on the Savage Nation.
Here's the Germany Hitler walked into, and here's what he wanted. First, Europe under his complete political or economic control, leaving Mussolini a share of the loot if he behaved himself. Then the drive to the east, through the rich oil lands of Iran and Iraq, into India. Another push south through Africa. Then from Dakar, jump off to meet the honorary Aryans who were to move in on South America through the Pacific. At the same time, start across from the Scandinavian country to hook up with his buck-toothed pals coming over from Siberia to join in the conquest of the United States.
All right, you get the picture, buck-toothed pals. God, that was awful. But I'm giving an example that they used stereotypes to produce propaganda to make us hate the enemy. When have you last seen anyone encourage you to hate the rapists, the murderers, the child rapists called ISIS? When have you last heard anyone talk negatively about them? Someone drew a cartoon, the world almost burnt down to the ground. So it's time to draw cartoons and insult them. It's that simple, or else we're all going to wind up dead. That's why she's right, Pamela Geller. I don't care what anyone says. She's 100% right. Either we take them on now while we can, or we're all dead. Or next thing you know, you'll be praying over a prayer rug and praying to Mecca six times a day. That's all. 855-407-282. Rich on KSFO is a malcontent of some kind. What's your problem, Rich?
No, I just want to compliment you again, Mike, on your show.
All right, come on. You want to put me down. Get to it, please. Don't try to be a wise guy. What is it you really want to say?
No. You're an author, and the trilogy that you just finished, it's a fantastic work. It's very difficult. Very few people actually publish a book. A lot of people talk about it. You did it, and you have a wonderful show. It's very well researched. I have nothing bad to say to you at all. I'm not here to put you down at all. In regards to propaganda, I did have a mention, which is that it seems to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, it seems to me that you have millions of listeners. You're telling people about ISIS. Are you not doing a public service in regards to creating propaganda?
Well, propaganda would be false depictions of the enemy. I am giving you actual depictions of the enemy. These are facts. They're raping 8-year-old girls when they capture them. You know that, don't you?
I do, and I'm listening to the...
They rape 8-year-old girls because they say it's in their holy book. Do you understand how sick this is?
I do. And I...
Well, why doesn't the media do something about it? We have all the power in the world. Why doesn't Harvey Weinstein make one movie showing these throwbacks for who they are? What's wrong with these guys in Hollywood? That's what I'm saying, Rich. That's my whole appeal, is I'm insulting Katzenberg, Weinstein, and Geffen. I hope the message reaches them in a tape MP3. I hope someone MP3s it to them and says, this guy is right, we better do something. We're an embarrassment to humanity.
Well, there was a recent movie of a sniper, American sniper, or something like that.
Right.
Wasn't that a fairly accurately done movie in regards to...
Yes, and American Muslims boycotted the movie because they were insulted by the fact that he killed Muslims who were scum in the other world, in the Middle East. They didn't like that. We're filled with enemies. Obama flooded the country with Muslim enemies. Let's be clear and stop mincing words.
Well, I'm just saying that was a very successful movie. That was a movie that actually probably set the tone for other movies like Lone Survivor.
I am sick and tired of these Muslim immigrants stepping on my flag and setting it on fire. They can go back to the crap holes they came from.
And I agree with
you. Let them go join ISIS if they hate it here. And if you think I'm making it up that Obama flooded us with haters, listen to a little fact. A shock poll. 81% of Al Jazeera Arabs polled support ISIS. In a recent survey conducted by AlJazeera.net, the website for the Al Jazeera Arabic television channel, respondents overwhelmingly support the Islamic State terrorist group, with 81% voting yes on whether they approved of ISIS's conquest in the region. The poll, which asked in Arabic, do you support the organizing victories of the Islamic State in Iraq and Syria, ISIS, has generated over 38,000 responses thus far, with only 19% of respondents voting no to supporting ISIS. The country is filled with the fifth column. Obama has flooded America with the most America-hating immigrants you can imagine. So let's not talk about the Mexicans who are building houses. Let's do a hard focus on the Muslims he has brought in and intends to bring in. And let's not sit here blaming the Mexicans for the problems in this country. Because the fact is, most of them work harder than you do. That's all. That's the fact of reality. I know you don't want to hear it, but the fact is, if you go to any construction site, you'll see who's banging the hammer and running the saw. And it's not John Q. Republican. That's all. He's on the golf course. He's on the golf course swilling some bourbon, and he's complaining about America because the taxes are too high. I don't blame him. The taxes are twice what they should be. You want to talk about taxes to me? I'll give you a simple answer. I didn't invent it. A flat tax. Make everyone in the country pay the same tax. That would be fair. Make even those on the bottom who are paying nothing pay 15%. Then suddenly you'd find out that we don't have to tax the rich anymore, since the rich pay most of the taxes anyway. A 15% from everybody would do wonders, wouldn't it? And that would include Robert De Niro. That would include Warren Buffett. That would include all the people who tell us we don't pay enough taxes. I don't know what their taxes are, what they pay. But every time I hear a trillionaire talk about fairness and you should pay more taxes, I wonder what they really pay. I wonder how many double Dutch techniques they use to pay next to nothing, receiving their income in so many guarded forms that it would make Bill Clinton look like Snow White. This is the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. So let's go to my main point, which is why we need propaganda to win and why conservatives are losing. Hillary, for example, is using a fake Southern accent as part of her propagandist efforts. Of course, it's failed because she's being laughed at. Now, whether she's being laughed at in the South, I don't know. Maybe the people down there that she speaks to are so stupid, they don't even know that she's faking it and that it's a mockery of herself. I don't know. Maybe they are as stupid as she thinks. Maybe the Jews that she speaks before are as stupid as Obama thinks when he says he's the first member of the tribe. Maybe the Jews are as dumb as she is. I don't know. I really can't explain the next person. But I do know that only by maligning the enemy and smearing the enemy and debasing the enemy and making the enemy into something subhuman can we ever win the war against the worst scourge the planet has seen since Hitler, which is the Islamic State and why they're winning. Which leads us back to this point. The conservative intellectuals, where are they? There are almost none. The sad truth is that some of the most brilliant minds of our time are falsely political progressives. Don't confuse yourself and assume that they're progressives because they're stupid or that with the glib tongue they're all low-information voters. Many of these people would rather be nice and kind than right. They may even know that their politics are wrong, but they'd rather err on the side of kindness. Which leads me to the next point. Hatred is not a philosophy. And I'm asking you again, who are the conservative creators, the conservative intellectuals other than me? Yes, I'll put myself in the top echelon. I am so sick and tired of pretending that we're all the same. We're not all the same. It takes more than hatred to make a movement. It takes more than everyday false righteous indignation to make a point. Give me a break from all these multi-millionaire talk show hosts who don't give 10 cents to charity, screaming about the little guy who's hurting, or falsely complaining about the economy that's dying as they build beachfront mansions built on the swamp of hate and deceit. And I'll reiterate that I've given money away for years to deserving Marines who were facing court-martials they didn't deserve. I donated this year $20,000 for a van to Brent Grommet and Matt so they'd have a car to drive. And I'm about to donate $100,000 in scholarships to deserving college students, five $20,000 scholarships. We've been working on that for 4 months now. And so we need propaganda. We don't need aggregators. Don't confuse aggregators of news stories with conservative creators. Don't confuse aggregators of news stories with talkers who have an intellect. Please don't make the confusion. There are some good nonfiction books out there that are on the conservative side. I've written many of them. Well, they're okay. How many conservatives have written fiction, such as I have just done with the masterpiece Countdown to Mecca, in order to broaden the appeal of my viewpoint? Can you name one conservative filmmaker? Can you name one conservative poet? Can you name one conservative musician? Can you name one conservative painter? Who? It takes more than hatred to make a movement. It takes more than screaming every day about how bad everything is in order to make a movement, which is why so many people and some of the most brilliant minds of our time are falsely political progressives. They'd rather be nice than right. As we go on, we must use the power of propaganda to build a prejudice against the Islamofascists in order to beat them at their own game. Propaganda was used in World War II to smear the Japanese and to smear the Germans. It invigorated our troops. Was it pretty? No, it was pretty ugly.
And the German leaders knew, as Frederick and Bismarck and the Kaiser had known, that you can't start ruthless aggression abroad without ruthless discipline at home. Therefore, the time had come for the Republic to be eliminated. To achieve this, they needed a tool with which to appeal to the Germans' old passion for superiority and conquest. Not a feudal monarch this time like Frederick, nor an aristocratic landowner like Bismarck, nor an emperor like the Kaiser, but an ex-corporal of the German army, with a fanatic gleam in his eye and the power to arouse a mob. Preaching the same old doctrine as his predecessor, the old doctrine that had never failed to arouse the German people. Himself jobless, uneducated, cowardly.
Was it stereotypical? Yes, it was. Did it help the troops feel that they can defeat the enemy? Yes, it did. But right now, our troops have nothing to go on other than a hatred for themselves. If they're white, they're being indoctrinated by goons in the military who tell them they have white privilege. If they're straight and Christian, they're being indoctrinated by vermin in the military who are telling them that straight and Christian is evil. So everything is upside down. The left is everywhere with their propaganda, and we on the conservative side are nowhere with effective propaganda. Oh yeah, there's a lot of hatred out there on our side, but there's very little intellect, and there's even less art.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
Well, the headline screams, Baltimore residents who wanted cops to leave neighborhoods now afraid to go outside. After the race hustlers like Obama, Sharpton, whatever his name was, the attorney general, so-called, went to Baltimore, stirring up trouble in the streets before it happened, which led to rioting, looting, and deranged violence. The loony left turned on the police, told the police to get out of their neighborhoods. So the police left their neighborhoods, and now the murderous criminals are on a murderous rampage in the heart of Baltimore, and people are afraid to go out of their houses. In the black neighborhoods, by the way, let's be very clear. So I'm showing you how this can metastasize into a nation. Think Baltimore. Obama, Eric Holder, now, of course, Loretta Lynch has joined the pack. Obama, Holder, and de Blasio attacked the police for six straight months. The city burned. The police were told to stand down by the goofball who runs the city. Now black residents are screaming that the police who used to protect them aren't coming out to protect them. They said they can't come out of their apartments to even go shopping anymore because those police aren't there. The very pigs that they hated and said, you know, bring them down, bring down the pigs. Remember that little story? The residents of Baltimore who hated the police are now saying there are no police to save them. So they're afraid to go to the store because there's no one to protect them. Well, here's a headline. Cops more afraid of going to jail for doing their job than getting shot. That's San Francisco. That's been policing here for years. Don't get me wrong. The cops are very brave, but what would you do if you were them? You'd stay in the station as often as you could and count your 401k until you retired. They're human beings, you know. They have to go home at night. They're dealing with the scum of the earth. They're the ones who have to pick up the human trash every day off the streets and keep them from killing you. So when you debase them and put them down every day, what do you expect them to do? Protect you? Which leads me directly to the next story that is tied in somewhere. Not directly. It's sort of like what I'm afraid could happen here. And that's what's happening in South Africa. You don't know what's going on in South Africa because the media has a seamless seal over what's happened in South Africa since local rule took over. You don't know about the killing of whites. You don't know about the appropriation of land. You don't know about the rape epidemic. You know nothing of this. All you do is sing Kumbaya, and you think that everything is wonderful because the evil whites were thrown out. You don't know that more people have been killed under local rule than were ever killed under the rule of the so-called farmers called the Boers. You know nothing. You know nothing about reality. All you know is who George Clooney isn't and things of that nature. So continuing on the propaganda front, meaning showing you propaganda used in World War II, please play clip 18. I want you to listen carefully to this newsreel clip when he gets to the point where he says that the Congress became nothing but a body of parrots. Listen.
Stop thinking and follow your God Emperor, cried the Japanese warlords. And Japan will rule the world. And the people answered, Banzai, Banzai. Each system was alike in that the constitutional law-making bodies gave up their power. The Reichstag in Berlin, the House of Deputies in Rome, the Diet in Tokyo. And these elected representatives became collections of stooges, rubber stamp organizations.
Bingo.
Applauding on cue the words of the leaders.
Bingo.
Each system did away with free speech and free assembly. Each system did away with a free press and substituted a press controlled by the party.
Stop thinking and believe in me. Now, who says that? Hitler said it. Mussolini said it. The emperor said it. Doesn't Obama basically say, stop thinking and believe in me? Isn't that exactly what he's been saying for all these years now? Isn't that what the Democrats teach the dummies to vote for them? As a matter of fact, so do Republicans, by the way. Stop thinking and believe in me. On one side, it's stop thinking and believe in global warming. Stop thinking and believe in homophobia. Stop thinking and believe in, fill in the blank, whatever the doxy of the moment is. And on the conservative side, it's stop thinking and believe in the Republican Party. Stop thinking and believe in, I don't know what they stand for, but something, I don't know what it is. I think they stand opposed to Democrats occasionally, at least they say so. We're talking about propaganda. We have other examples of it. See, in these images that were used by Hollywood at that time in the poster makers, the Japanese villain became a creature to be feared, not just because of the character himself, right? But for its inhumanity as well, right? Even the most inhuman looking of these creatures still generally sported the propaganda stable of hyperbolic stereotypes. There were depictions of snakes with buck teeth, rats with exaggerated squinting eyes, and lumbering apes with yellow coloring. With our enemy in ISIS, we do not need to make them into subhumans. They are subhumans. What would you call kidnapping young girls and raping them as young as age 8? Because their boss, Muhammad, has it in the Bible that you can have a wife at age 8. Tell me, is there anything more subhuman than that? When have you last heard that coming out of Hollywood? Never. So you have a lot to be scared of with ISIS. They're winning and we're losing. And I'm pretty sure that there are fellow travelers inside the White House who are enabling them. I don't believe that we're losing the war. I think that they're winning the war with our help. And the reason I say that, I'll use very, very simple logic. Last week after they conquered Ramadi, they had a victory parade in the open of a half mile long of their Toyota pickup trucks with their machine guns, one half mile at least long. Did Obama take time out to launch one A-10 against them? One airplane could have wiped out the entire column. Remember Bush's Highway of Death? Remember the Highway of Death? Those charred corpses? The burnt out tanks and half tracks? The APCs that were burnt to the ground? The gruesome figures of Iraqis burned to a crisp? Remember those pictures? Well, that's how a war is won. Why is this war not being fought? Don't tell me because Obama was afraid of civilian casualties. That would be a lie. The latest propaganda is that the pilots can fly over a target for hours before being given the signal to launch a rocket by one of the girls inside the White House in between having her nails done and having a spa treatment. One of the girls in the sorority says, what is it? What does he want? Give me a couple of hours. I'm having the nails done. Let him fly around a little bit up there. I'll let him know in a while. What does he want? He wants to bomb what? I don't know. Any civilians around now? Call it off for today. Send them home. Send the geek home. Let him go have a cup of coffee on the aircraft carrier. We'll get back to that target tomorrow. What's on the agenda today? A global warming meeting? Okay. Sorry, we can't do the war right now. All right, it's a bad parody. It's what goes on in my head of what's running this country today. That's my propaganda of what's running America. How far it is from the truth, I don't really know. It may as well be the truth for all I know, because the effects of the results are the same. Whether my parody is real or not doesn't matter. We may as well have a bunch of dithering morons having their nails done running the war as not for the effects. But my point, and you can't miss it, I don't care whether you're a progressive or what you are, what you consider yourself, why didn't Obama order any aircraft to strike that column? Why? It was the most insightful analysis of anyone in the media yet to date on this whole war issue. And there's no defending what Obama didn't do, by the way, none. So we hear that planes are flying around. And the reason the great man himself, the great commander-in-chief Obama, who has never fired a Daisy BB gun so far as I can tell, the great commander-in-chief Barack Big Mouth Obama, Barack Obama doesn't want the airplanes to strike for fear of collateral damage. That's a lie. That's a lie, and I can prove it by blowing up that column in the victory parade of Toyota trucks that the terrorists were driving after they captured Ramadi. There would have been no collateral damage, yet he didn't strike them. You explain to me why he didn't strike them, because he doesn't want to defeat them. Why doesn't he want to defeat them? You can pretty much answer that question yourself, can't you? Jordan is screaming for help. We're not giving it. Egypt is screaming for help. We're not giving it. All of the moderate Muslim nations who are trying to fight these vermin, these throwbacks, these ninth century primitives, are not getting our help. Why? Is it incompetence or something worse? I don't have an answer for that. Maybe you progressives do, since you're so genius. Since you're such geniuses, maybe you can answer that question. So we are a hairbreadth away from a dictatorship, an absolute dictatorship. After Hitler had total power, the Reichstag became a collection of stooges. There was no longer a free press. That was chilling, wasn't it? Party members or related to the party ran everything. Does that not like sound like ABC, CBS, NBC, MSNBC, CNN, etc.? Doesn't it sound exactly like that? Isn't that what you've been complaining? When you say media bias, we've all heard that over and over again, like parrots. There's few code words that you haven't used on radio over the years. You've learned to repeat them like good little parrots. Like you all know the word Alinsky, and you think it's a secret code word. It's like a secret handshake. And somehow you think you've earned a master's degree in political science when you call radio shows and you say, Alinsky, he's following the Alinsky program. Or there's media bias on MSNBC. Well, okay, we all know that. But I'm trying to do this for you, which is raise it up to a higher level, making you understand where we're at. We're way beyond baby talk. Barack Obama is such a maniac for power and control. He's so evil in my estimation. He has such evil intent towards this nation that unless he is stopped right now through impeachment, which I don't care whether it can win or lose, it will expose this man for what he really is. Unless he is stopped right now, it will get much worse before it gets at all better. As you know, Congress is nothing more than a collection of stooges, with the occasional honest, independent man or woman who was elected at the last election. But where were they put? Where were the young conservatives put by McDonald Duck and what's his name? Boner. Where did Boner and McDonald Duck put them? Put them at the back of the bus. Made sure you never heard from them again. Why? Because they're part of the collection of stooges. And the only explanation is not that they're being blackmailed because they wrestled with boys in their youth. Not at all. It's because they got what they wanted, which is large, large amounts of the public treasury for projects in their state. Nothing more nor less than that. Take a look at what Mitch McDonald Duck brought to Kentucky. Was it not a billion-dollar bridge to nowhere? I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-CON. You can take the boy out of New York, but you can't take the New York out of the boy. As I imagine to fish my naked arm into a Coca-Cola box on a hot July day on Ludlow Street with big pieces of ice and soda on the bottom to fish out a bottle of soda, I am thinking about today's radio show and how the world has changed. Indeed, has changed, because nothing stays the same. No, nothing stays the same. So I talked about propaganda used in World War II to defeat the Nazis and the Japanese imperialists. I talked about how we need propaganda against the Arab murderers in ISIS to show the world what subhuman scum they really are instead of glorifying them and making it sound as though it's just a simple a difference in opinion. And then we segued into what life is like in South Africa under local rule and how the murder rate and the rape rate is way beyond anything anyone could imagine, how the world covers it up because they want you to believe that all is well after the white man's rule ended. But that's not what's happened. South Africa is now the 10th most murderous country in the world. The survival rate, let's put aside rape and murder. What about life expectancy? You can't blame that on the white man. When the white man ruled Africa, just as apartheid ended, the life expectancy in South Africa was 64. Now it's 56, the same as Somalia. Who are you going to blame for that? Richard Nixon? And what about the economics of South Africa? Well, they have a port city there known as Durban that used to be one of the world's giants in shipping. It's now not a giant in shipping. It slipped off the world's 50 largest container ports. I guess the evil white man was good at something. And that leads us back to Baltimore, where the police are afraid to do their job. They're more afraid of going to jail for doing their job than getting shot under local rule. So be careful what you wish for, my friends. You better be careful about the rainbow nation you're wishing for, because it may not be such a picnic. It may all melt right in front of your eyes. I would be remiss not to tell you that second week sales for my novel Countdown to Mecca were great. And once again, although the book outsold four other books in the top 15, the New York Times refuses to list my novel Countdown to Mecca in the top 15. It doesn't hurt me very much, but it should hurt you to show you that a once great newspaper has fallen to the level of being nothing but a propaganda sheet that will even hide the sale of a book because they don't like its politics. But nevertheless, I wanted you to know that, and I wanted to remind you that it's because of this audience that Countdown to Mecca had a great second week of sales. Again, something you won't be seeing anywhere soon, meaning a list. And I'd like to ask you to look it up in a bookstore this weekend and buy one for your father or your grandfather or your husband, because they will love it. Teach your husband to read this weekend. Tell him to put down that sports game and teach him to read a good book. He might actually thank you for it. The Savage Family and Animal Charities. We've done an awful lot to save dogs from pounds. Over 5 years, $150,000. We gave service animals to disabled vets of Iraq and Afghan wars. We gave a lot of money to the International Foundation for Animal Welfare, the Gorilla and Elephant Funds. We have supported Chimp Haven in many ways since 2005. Chimp Haven, by the way, is the federally subsidized haven for lab primates who are retired to live out their life. It's a very sad story. I mean, what's done to these animals. You talk about what the inhumanity of man to man. The inhumanity of man to man is one thing, which is bad enough. But what we do to animals is heartbreaking. You know, if you love animals, you could see the innocence of these things. And after they retire, instead of killing them, they go to this little place. They live out. I don't know what they do there. They get a bagel at night, a television show. We've pledged a lot of money over 5 years. I don't want to list the amount. Locally in the Marin County area, we gave $100,000 for a rebuild of the kennel for the Marin Humane Society. Why am I telling you all of this? I'm trying to goad other loudmouths in the conservative media to let go of a nickel. Maybe they can give up a dime now and again to a charity instead of talking about charities that they help support by having people from the charities on their show. That's a little different than letting go of a nickel out of your pocket.
Savage.